Hey, Ken.
Kendra, happy Halloween!
Oh, I know. Very spooky.
Very spooky.
We're on Hallows Eve. That's when you guys are listening to this.
Is that true?
Yeah. Wednesday's Halloween, so.
Oh.
Hallows Eve?
Right.
You know how.
Yeah.
You know how
it's
they call it.
Yeah. It's the whole thing. It's the whole shebang, right?
It's the whole thing.
Well, no, Halloween's the thing. Yeah. What do you, Kendra, what do you think of Halloween?
I think it's great.
Okay.
I don't really dress up, and I don't really like scary things.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'm glad it exists.
But you have a history with it.
What's my history with
well,
it?
Well, you...
I've partook in it.
You've lived in Salem?
I have, yeah.
Can actually, I say that? Or yes. Does that... I don't want to paint God. Give anyone too much of your background.
Yeah, oh, everyone now knows.
But I mean, I feel like you have, you have an interest in some of the... like touch points of Halloween.
I do. I like the witchcraft.
Yep.
I really like the witchcraft. I like candy. That's a big touch point for me. Things I don't like. The scaring.
You like to be sort of scared.
I like to be like, ooh.
Yeah. Like a little like,
oh. Oh my God.
And then let's pull it back immediately.
Immediately. And I want everyone to go, just kidding.
Yeah.
I want that to be, and then apologize actually.
I did have a question for you though.
Yeah.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Sorry. There is none.
There's none. There's not one.
I watched what was the one with the Babadook?
Yeah, well, we watched. You like that?
I've seen it twice actually.
What? Really?
I know. Yeah.
You love his top hat.
I do.
You like here's a well dressed demon.
That was a good one. That was a really good one. But I did not enjoy it.
Right. No. I'm in the same boat as you. I've kind of stayed away from those because I saw that one with you the first time, and then I also watched It Follows, another one that
you
was like
you told me that one and I almost pissed myself.
It's very good, but why did I do that to myself? Because I was scared.
My whole thing is I don't want to be afraid of things that I really enjoy doing or love.
Right.
And so I don't want to be scared of beautiful old houses because I love beautiful old houses. I don't want to be scared of I don't want to be scared of the outdoors. I love camping. You know what I mean?
I mean, these are some of the bigger subgenres.
There are some big...
Which actually not
some
even...
big tropes.
Not even they're just almost all the horror setting. Movies have to do with an old house. It's just... It's like
and a, if it's a, not... And if it's more of a murder movie...
Yeah.
Then someone's camping.
Yeah.
At the beginning or at the end or through the entire thing.
Or spelunking. Thing. Sometimes they're spelunking.
They could be doing anything. But anyway, I like doing those things, so why would I want to watch those things? Because I hate when you're doing something and someone's like, oh my God, this is a scary movie. And I'm like, I'm just trying to pee in an empty bathroom, my friend. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's something that someone always brings up when you go camping. You're oh, don't say you'll be back. There might be a murderer out there waiting to hack us all to death.
And
we
like,
all laugh.
If anyone's going to die of anything, it's me tripping into a ravine and having to stay there for 6 days.
Oh, I have such nightmares.
Like my ankle.
Do you have nightmares? I have nightmares of tripping into ravines and stuff. Seriously, that is it. It's not a murderer. It's not anything too crazy.
No.
It's just me walking along. Yeah, and all of a sudden, I've seen myself trip plenty of times. Not next to a ravine. So why wouldn't I trip near a ravine?
Right.
Then go into the ravine.
Then you're trapped there for 3 days. Maybe someone comes. Maybe not. Maybe you just have the hungriest.
Was I walking alone? Maybe.
Right.
Maybe the other person tripped right after I tripped. And I'm expecting them to come back, but they're never going to come back. That's a hell in itself.
Oh, that would be awful.
Yeah.
Would they get lost?
What if they're I'll come back with help. We're only a mile from the way station
they
or whatever.
They get lost and get
and
murdered.
And then they get lost and murdered. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then
God.
That's the murderer comes for them, but you're actually fine from the murder.
Do we just write a horror movie that begins with someone tripping into a ravine?
I think we did. And I feel good about it.
I feel great.
Call
it Scream Ravine. Or the Ravine Scream. Or, I don't know. Anyway.
Ravine!
What do you think Perry Gilpin would think of all this?
I think she would love it. What's Perry Gilpin up to?
She's currently reviewing our spec script on Scream Ravine.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. 4 degrees. 3 degrees.
2 degrees. Of Perry Gilpin.
This is 2 degrees of Perry Gilpin, the number one fan podcast about Perry Gilpin, where we talk about movies and TV that don't have Perry Gilpin in it, and then relate it all back to Perry Gilpin.
just know that even if we don't even bring up exactly how it relates back to Perry Gilpin, which we do a lot.
Often, like I would say probably 85% of the time.
Her spirit imbues this entire podcast.
It does.
It's a celebration of her.
Yep.
And other things we're watching in pop culture.
And if I fell into a ravine and was looking for someone to save me, I would look for Perry.
Listen, I love Perry, but maybe I get someone that's used to doing that. Maybe like Sylvester Stallone from Cliffhanger.
Wow. You know, like this feels very gendered.
I'm just, the woman from Cliffhanger, whose name I can't remember. Is that better, Kendra? She had the short hair. She was adorable. She was great at her job. I don't know.
I would probably pick not an actor, but someone who is like, I've carried thousands of stretchers.
That's what I meant.
But Sylvester Stallone.
I didn't mean gender. Some nice lady that knows how to rappel down the side of a ravine can come get me. I'm not. There's nothing. I don't care who saves me. All right.
That's good.
That's one thing I've always said.
I truly do not care who saves me. Just please, dear Lord, someone save me.
So Kendra.
Yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah.
You know what that makes me want to bring up, right?
Oh my God! What could you possibly have to say about John Carpenter? Right now?
Well, Halloween, the new one just came out. It's a direct sequel to the original, 1978.
Did John Carpenter write or direct this one?
He gave them his blessing. So basically, they went to him and said, "We're not doing it unless you like it." And he's like, "I don't want you to do it." And they're like, "Okay, someone else is going to do it. It's going to suck." And he was like, "All right, let's do this." That's basically how it went.
Wow.
And they sent it to him, and he liked it. And I saw the movie. I'm wondering how much he liked it, but
that's what they say always at the beginning of things. Yeah. They're like, "We got their blessing," and you're like,
I saw it last week. It is at the beginning I really did not like, but it builds into I think a pretty entertaining movie. I think I love the original. Mm-hmm. It's something that it's just sort of like a pure sort of like good horror movie with like good good music and shadows and all this stuff
and masks
and it's just like really creepy and it's kind of just a classic look kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this one was I think they tried to do too much early on, or maybe they didn't do enough. I didn't like the beginning. It kind of built into an entertaining end. I like the final act.
Lee Curtis, from what I've heard from you, because last time we recorded this podcast afterwards I asked you to tell me play by play what happened in the movie I'm never going to see it and I'm afraid of things that aren't just told to me.
Yep.
And it did sound like Jamie Lee Curtis was less, it was like more her story towards the end.
Yeah.
And at the beginning it's kind of far away from her, which I think that's like a lot of the fun.
Right. And sort of, so this is basically 40 years. It's been 40 years since the first movie. It's been 40 years within the story since she was attacked by Michael Myers after he murdered like four of her friends.
Oh, God.
And basically since then, she's had a couple marriages. She's had a daughter. And then she's sort of become a recluse in the woods. On this compound where they basically show her like shooting like mannequins for target practice. And like she has a sort of safe room in the basement, a panic room, that kind of thing. All this stuff. And meanwhile, her family life and every other part of her life is sort of broken down, has become nothing because these people think she's a paranoid woman because she's worried about a man who they caught has been in an asylum for 40 years. And some people are like, yeah, he killed like four of your friends. Like, you need to like move on. It's like that sort of thing.
Wow.
And I've seen both sides of this. Some people are celebrating the movie and Jamie Lee is, and she's saying this is sort of about women kind of taking back some sort of empowering themselves against this sort of trauma and being terrorized by a man. And there's even a point earlier on where they're talking about him like he's some sort of evil spirit. She's like, he's a man, just to be clear. Like, it's like
that kind of thing.
And towards the end, her and her daughter, played by Judy Greer, and her granddaughter, who's a newcomer and is very good, I just forget her name, they're sort of like together in dealing with him. And it becomes a like the movie I think it was trying to be at that point at the final act. It just takes a while to get there. And I know there's been some backlash because some people are like this movie's not like a feminist movie. Like, let's stop saying that.
Yeah.
Like, but I think there are different standards for like a slasher film. For a slasher film, and I don't want to give spoilers away for it, but there's certain things that happen in this film where for a slasher film to stand behind that and have that happen, it actually is kind of like a statement in a way, because it's a misogynist genre to begin with.
Yeah.
And I say that having a sort of battled like feeling on them, because I like them a lot, but they're not obviously
right.
Like,
just another way that Kim shows that he's not woke.
It's not a thoughtful genre.
Add it to the list.
But I think you can watch them and be like, well, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Right.
But
well, and something that Jamie Lee Curtis has said on her Twitter, she's just been talking about how, you know, it's one of the, like, a blockbuster movie that is opened extremely well with a woman over 60 in the lead. Well, Ken's drinking his coffee and we all now know. But I think it's unfortunate that that is not something that blockbusters traditionally have,
right.
Is like, who is the star, you know, but like, it's just annoying because I would like to see Judi Dench open every single fucking movie in this world.
We've got a little side comment here. We need to watch that Tea movie.
Oh my god, like Tea with Dames.
It's streaming.
Tea with
Dames. We can stream it. I think we might have to rent it, but
let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's on the agenda.
Yeah. But basically I enjoy the movie. I would say I would recommend it just because I think it does become fun in the third act. And I do think it is cool that their initial thought with this was like, we're going to give Jamie Lee Curtis back some agency, like her character, Laurie Strode, and she's going to be like going after him this time. It's, you know, it's fun.
I like that.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the spooky thing that you and I both dipped our toes into?
We should, but first...
It was a lagoon.
We do need to talk more about John Carpenter.
Oh my God.
I put together a list of my favorite John Carpenter films.
No, he's the best for Halloween. Just hear me out.
He has... no, don't worry. He has like 16 movies and I only ranked 15 of them. Now, number 15. No, okay. We can go ahead.
Okay. So, Ken and I last night started a pair of series.
Yeah.
We didn't just do one. We did the whole, like, two episodes of one and then five episodes of the other.
We were in a post-delicious Indian food coma.
Yes.
And we were on the couch and we were like, let's rip into some...
Sabrina.
Yep.
The Teenage Witch.
Well.
But.
No. But that's not what we actually were going. We're going for
the Chilling Adventures.
Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Which, who happens to be a teenage witch.
Honestly, I wasn't that interested in watching until you played the trailer for me like a week or two ago.
Yes.
And I dug the trailer.
Yeah, it looked very spooky.
Yeah,
trailer.
Creepy.
So I grew up watching the original Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, which was with Melissa Joan Hart, and
I did not.
You did not, right? But I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wasn't. I'm just, you know.
Right. And then I was excited.
I didn't watch that growing up, Kendra. Why are you saying that? Oh, you're talking about yourself. But sometimes it's hard for me.
The Ken, Kendra, it's so confusing. But what I was a little bit nervous about this new version. The things I wasn't nervous about, Kiernan Shipka.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Mad Men. She's like leading it as Sabrina. She's great. But the plot is supposed to be, it's taking Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but it's like the dark version. And so Archie Comics, they turned that into like Riverdale. And part of Archie Comics was also Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Mm.
And so this is now like taking what Riverdale did to Archie, the same thing.
Right.
So it's no longer goofy or like cute. It's like a different vibe.
Mm-hmm. I dug the vibe.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too.
I thought there were gonna be more touches of goof and lighthearted camp in a way.
Yeah.
It's kinda not, but I think it kinda nails what it wants to do. I think
it's
like fun and interesting, but it's mostly just dark. And
both visually
and sort of tonally and all that. But she's great because she's kind of a weirdo.
Yeah, like she is a weirdo.
Yeah.
So we only watched the first two episodes of this.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just burped.
You didn't have to announce that, but I'm glad you did.
I just thought everyone might know. Anyway, so she So pretty much the concept is it opens with Sabrina. It's about to be her 16th birthday. She has her friends at her high school. She's a half mortal, half witch.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Mm-hmm. And then for her 16th birthday, which lands on Halloween, there's a blood moon going on.
It's a lot.
It's on a fucking Friday.
It's on a Friday.
Like, come on. And she then has to pretty much like sign up with the devil.
Yeah. Sign his book
on her birthday. And she's kind of debating what she wants to do because she's really, what is very cool about it, it's got a very feminist, very feminist.
She's like, basically at one point she's like, this whole thing's run by this man. And like, why am I have to sign away my rights to him?
And like, and, it's kind of like, can I still have my free will?
Yep.
Anyway, it's a really, it is really interesting. And the art direction is gorgeous. The part that I thought was really funny is, so I watch Riverdale. You do not.
Mm-hmm.
But Riverdale is set in Riverdale. And then this is set in Greendale, which is right across from Sweetwater River. And I just hadn't realized that it was all supposedly happening in the same universe, like side by side, and I'll be curious if anything happens with that, because in Riverdale they've started to creep into Greendale, like, you know, like things will happen in Greendale and they'll talk about that.
But these are two different companies own these, right?
No,
because I thought Riverdale aired on CW.
Oh yes, yeah, they're owned, so, but the production
company
is the same, and the owner Archie is the same.
Got it. Yeah, of course.
So, like, they're doing it.
Wait, Archie? There's just a guy named Archie, and he's like, I own all this.
I'm Archibald.
Yeah.
No, it's called, like, Archie Comics Co. or something like that. Got it. And, like, they own both. At least from what I've seen. But I think that there might be more crossover than we think. Because also, CW has a crazy good relationship with Netflix. Like, they're now, like, signed over so that, like, once a, like, UK, their shows go up immediately after. And then here, it's, like, after 3 months after release, all their shows are on.
That's probably smart for CW.
Yeah.
I think that generates a lot of the interest in their shows,
and
right?
From what I've heard, CW gets a lot of the upfront costs covered of making a lot of these shows,
they probably need that.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just kidding. I think they do. Talk down to CW.
CW is great, and they've done so much amazing shows recently, and I think it really has to do with having...
I'm such a snob when it comes to their shows, because when that came about, I was already at a certain age.
You were mad because it was the WB.
Well, all that, I was just like, this is not for me, basically, you know?
And now it is.
Well, I don't know. I think there's some... Like, I'm more interested in Riverdale now, having seen The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Mm.
If that is a...
like the Sprouse Boys didn't do it for you?
I don't know. Maybe. I gotta check it out. But I really liked... I did like the tone of it a lot. And I think she's great. And the... we were saying that we wish... I mean, you were saying this. I'll take credit for it. I was saying this. that maybe one more comic relief in there. She has she has the two aunts, Hilda Zelda and Hilda. And Hilda's the funny one, right?
Hilda's funny.
Yeah.
Yep. And Zelda's scary in this. And in...
Ooh, yeah, yes. Right. Well, no. So, yeah. And I kind of agree, because it at no point am I like, this is... boring or doesn't capture my interest or anything like that, but it's a little heavy.
Yeah.
Which is why, even though we really enjoyed those first two episodes, which was like basically the first week leading up to her birthday and all the stuff that's supposed to happen then, at the end of it, Kendra was like, maybe we need a little palate cleanser. You know, maybe
like,
a little...
I couldn't watch another. I didn't feel like... Which is so rare for me with a Netflix show. I was like...
You know, but you were like, wait, what the... Can we watch the original... Like, the one from the 90s? And you looked it up, and we could.
Yes, it's on Amazon Prime and Hulu. Which, how weird is that? That Netflix didn't, like,
pick that up. It's very weird. Well, I don't know if they want to tie it to that show at all. But I will say,
as a
one-two punch...
the nostalgia factor is perfect.
Terrific.
Oh my God.
If I could just speak, this is one of those shows that came about when I was already 43 years old, the 90s, you know, I was just old, I had just come out of my first marriage, things didn't go well, I wasn't
you're
down.
You're closing in on retirement.
I wasn't down for a goofy sitcom about Sabrina, the Teenage Witch. But it missed me completely, and I remember people talking about it and me being like, no thanks.
Yeah.
And watching it last night, we watched like 5 episodes.
I think we watched like 4 episodes. It really was like,
I just found it so funny. And like, it's not, I'm not even like, it's not even funny in a, this is like campy and old school, and they didn't really know what they were doing. A lot of the jokes landed and were funny, and then some of the stuff that was sort of goofy because of the times was just sort of fun anyway. Like, yeah, the opening like credits are like, what is going on with that? It's almost like they had a like a intern that was related, or it was like, oh, I can throw something together. Like, I have no idea. Like, it's crazy.
It is like someone was like, so I heard about this new green screen thing, and I think we should try it out.
Yeah.
They have just the beginning. I'm sure anyone who is a Sabrina the Teenage Witch fan is like, we know.
Yeah.
We know. Mm-hmm. But she's in front of a mirror and she's like changing her outfits.
Yeah.
And
but I think that part's actually not even bad. I'm talking about when it cuts and the cat runs across, yeah, and you're like, what is going, is this a Windows 98 like icon? What is going on here?
It's amazing. And like the typography comes in and it's sparkling, and it's, I mean, like, it is just like of its time.
Yeah.
But the rest of the show, I really agree. I don't think it is. I think the special effects are like surprisingly good, mm-hmm, because I think they use some real effects. I bet it took them a long time to do some of the things.
Intro effects are actually pretty well done. Yeah. You don't have high expectations, and they don't go for anything too big. It's just, right, they're all pretty like quick and cute and charming.
Yeah.
Like the way they do certain,
yeah,
spells and whatnot.
It's, yeah. And I think the best part is they're all very funny.
Yes.
So like Melissa Joan Hart playing Sabrina, super funny.
Great.
The two aunts, Zelda and Hilda.
Zelda and Desmilda. No, yeah, it's the same. Once again.
Are so, yeah, great and funny.
Yep.
And I actually think that it's very clear in the Netflix, the new Netflix Sabrina, that one of the aunts is trying to be like, have a little bit of that tone.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, what's nice about the original version is that there's two funny people in different capacities playing off each other, and that's really fun to see. And like, then you have the three of them. It just feels like a really fun atmosphere. And also, honestly, the best part might be the cat, Salem.
Oh my god, it's voiced by this guy Nick Baquet, who I know from growing up because he used to do weird like things on ESPN where he would make picks for NFL, and he would be like the funny guy they brought in. And he'd be like, Nick Baquet with his picks. And he'd be like, and he'd make like jokes as he did it.
Wow.
And like, it's weird hearing him be the voice of this cat now, because I'm like, oh my God, Nick Baquet.
And did you know? So I recently just read an interview with him.
Oh, what are you? I didn't even say it.
I read an interview with him.
Nick Baquet?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, because someone was like checking in on, because they have this new version.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, I was really excited. So he was a writer on the show, and he was like already kind of cleared as a writer. And then they were like, oh, we're looking for someone to play the cat. And he had voice acting experience and was like,
oh, it's a perfect voice. He's like got a dry,
really,
sort
like,
of, yeah,
just deep, dry,
deep,
and
dry,
like absurd to be on a cat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And he talked about, in this interview, he talked about like the animatronic cat that they have, which is so funny.
It's also,
like,
it's so much fun
switch
to
between,
see how
like,
they switch
a real
it.
Cat,
yeah, yeah,
and a fake cat. Yeah. And like, he said in it, he was like, yeah, I mean, when it was a real cat, it just looked like we thought they were going to stop making us use the animatronic because it was pretty creepy.
Mm.
And so they did for a small portion, which we haven't gotten to yet. Like, they kind of stopped doing it, and then they like brought it back.
Mm.
But he was like, the problem with the real cat is all the jokes would always be like flying out of its butt because it's just like, it's like running.
Yeah.
It's like a joke that's just like a voiceover.
There's a lot of times where if they're working with the cat, they're holding the cat.
Right. Because
they're like, we need you to be here, so you're going to be in my arms right now, or I'm gonna put you over here,
right?
Like, that's how we're gonna deal with
yeah. And and in the Netflix one, the cat, we haven't really seen as much of how the cat is going to become.
No, well,
but he doesn't have a voice in the same way.
Yeah,
and is spooky.
Yeah,
like, too spooky.
I hope that he starts speaking a little bit.
Me
but
too.
It'd be spooky, but maybe it'd be fun. I like a talking cat.
I love it.
I just realized that.
Well, and also, like, turns out it's a great character to have.
We talked about this, but just even watching BoJack Horseman recently, which is animated, I love talking animals. I've realized that. I guess I just want to see
well,
that
also,
more often.
Also, like, animal jokes are great jokes.
It's fun, yeah. Also, early on, one of her teachers, paid by Paul Feig.
Oh, how crazy was that?
I mean, it's just so funny.
It is like the nicest show. I rarely go back and watch shows. I think we went back and watched like Gilmore Girls. Like mm-hmm. that was Sabrina was also of the ABC Family. Like after school, just freaking plow through them. And that is like one of the few that I never like. I went back and watched Gilmore Girls, but that was more like an adventure. And mm-hmm. this, I'm really excited
because I was with you.
Yeah, exactly. It was such an adventure. Plus, we just like went through it.
I don't. I mean, the way you're saying it now, it's like it wasn't an adventure. We had a great time.
It was a great time. It also took forever.
Yeah, it did.
But I think that this is a show that I had never gone back to, but is really so good to go back to. It's just fun and like a breath of fresh air and really enjoyable.
Great comfort food.
Yes.
For just watching.
And just tons of stupid jokes, like yeah. mile a minute jokes.
If you're looking for a new show, because like I go through these where like I, you know, for a while it was New Girl.
Mm-hmm. You do go now through it's your Cheers. Like comfort
where shows. Like just like a show I can throw on and kind of just forget. Because the problem with how we watch things now is you can't just put on, you're not putting on like the TV and like flipping through cable and putting it on like, oh, right. some dumb show that I like that I'll put on. And it's like,
right.
now you have to like choose what you watch. So I think it's important to choose something that maybe doesn't have like the, like seem important or seem like something you need, you should get through for today's sort of
right.
culture.
The
whatever.
Bodyguard.
The body, like the Bodyguard. Yeah, exactly. Or like, even like a, even something like an like the Ozarks or something like that, where people talk about right. it, I'm like, I don't know. No, it's good to be like, no, I'm just gonna throw on this every now and then, and right. maybe.
And like, it doesn't matter if there's a storyline. Sorry, there's probably a truck backing up.
Oh, you they can might hear that clearly. Forever. I'm sure.
I know you can. But yeah, I agree. I think sometimes it's nice, and I rarely do that. I mean, all my shows, I still am watching very in order, and I don't. Often take breaks.
You kick butt when it comes to watching shows.
I have a problem. But and also I choose like team garbage. That's what I would
well,
call
no,
it.
Well, no, I mean, I, but you know,
I think yeah. it's of quality, yeah, yeah. but not everyone does.
Well, it's all right. I'm glad that truck made that sound though, because it really mirrored you. Or just you just, were right now, just, yeah. It's like when you threw me under the bus with your when you rolled your eyes when you said we had adventures watching Gilmore Girls again.
We did. No. It was good. It was adventures through eating like a bunch of like subs.
Yeah. Oh my god.
we lived next to a great sub shop.
One more note, and I didn't realize this. Nell Scovell was the creator of the Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and she was a writer on Letterman, and she's written a bunch of stuff, and she just wrote a book that people
oh,
love.
Yes, I listened to an interview.
She's on Twitter, just like on Twitter, she's funny and she just calls out everyone on their bullshit.
Oh, good.
And she's
where do you think these people are going?
I don't know.
Can you hear this? Where do you think?
I don't know.
What's the game plan?
I think they're backing up the entire street. So,
but like step by step, they have to wait for someone to get out of the way so they continue their journey. It's crazy, right?
It's a little crazy, yeah. But anyway, Nell Scovell, she's great, and she's gone after she was on Letterman as a writer in the 80s, but she's also oh my god, she's also like kind of she's been one of his biggest critics lately, mm-hmm. and but
right,
she's just
when
great.
He said
on,
that there was like he said it was like oh it's hard to hire women.
He was like, who would want to work with me if you're you know a minority or a woman? Like, why would you want to even want to be a part of my show? And she's like, that's so disingenuous. Like, I don't even.
That is an insane thing
and,
to say.
And
wow.
she's rightfully pointed out he never hired a person of color on his writing staff his
wow.
entire run with his two shows, which is
a
30
long
years.
Long time, yeah. I'm really glad
years.
That she's being critical
yeah.
of someone who
I think it's great
because
he's an untouchable in a way where
yeah.
people kind of, even with like some of the stuff where, some of the stuff that went down, well. That's the thing. Keeps like I think it's telling us just to wrap this up.
Yeah, I think
but
it's like,
anyway,
we're,
I was just
we're
gonna
getting
say
the light. That's the
when
light.
I saw she was the creator, I was like, oh, it's awesome. And I have to admit that kind of lent some more credibility to the show. I thought because
wow.
I was like, not that I didn't think it was sharp before that, because I think I saw it like three episodes in. But I was like, oh, okay, like this makes sense that like I at least know the showrunner
right.
or creator, and like she's awesome. So like okay, like it
yeah.
like sort of made sense to me
where
more.
It was like, oh, this makes sense why this is so great.
It was like yeah, a little bit.
I think it was gonna be great. I mean, I think
well,
she
no,
brought a lot
yeah.
into that.
But follow her on Twitter; she's great.
Yeah. So that it is crazy.
It's
like
just
they're
keep
just
going.
Honestly, I think at some point they might back up to our floor and back like murder me. That's the next step.
Oh man,
what do you think they're up to?
That reminds me of the John Carpenter film Christine about the killer car. No. It's based on a Stephen King book. I don't know if you've read it.
Sounds great. Do you think it's going to go one more time?
Yes.
Yep, there it is. Yep, there good, it is. Good, good, good. Okay, well, thank you all for listening. We have a couple of thank yous to
yes, we do.
Send out into the world.
A couple?
Well, mostly just one. But we want to thank the agency, Circus Maximus.
Yes.
For being our first, what do we call it again?
Patron?
Supporter.
Supporter.
Listener.
Listener supporter. Supporter. That's what the word that's you were right. looking for.
Yes, I took my time.
There's a specific word I'm looking for. Listener supporter. Which, hey,
yeah. Yeah, so thank you so much to the ad agency, Circus Maximus, yes. for being our first listener supporter. They're a great agency. They do great work. If you live in New York, you've probably seen their ads on the subway.
Yes.
Maybe in Boston. I don't live there, so I have no idea. Yeah. And I don't know their ad buy.
I don't know. Are we calling him out specifically, though?
No, we're saying his agency.
Okay. I thought he said we could say his name, so I was kind of like...
So thank you to Paul.
Paul?
From Circus Maximus.
Yep. Paul Sutton.
For his great contribution.
Paul and... Robert Sutton.
Stop. Say all of his names.
From Columbia, Maryland.
Stop. No.
Birth date, March 18th, 1981.
Oh my God.
Last four digits of Social Security, 0001.
I have to take all of that out. It makes you too nervous.
No.
Okay, anyway, so we want to thank him. We also would like to let you know. So that means he's getting our first t-shirt. So that's a fun fact.
Once the t-shirts are made.
Once the t-shirts are made in 25
which we have
patrons
some,
from now.
We have some ideas for supporters. What we want. Yeah, 24 more.
24 more One supporters. Down. So if you go to anchor.fm/KenKendra or Kendra Ken.
Kendra Ken.
Kendra yep. Ken. That's confusing. They're the same name.
You put yourself first because you did all the work.
Mm.
So I curtsy to you.
That's good for me to just always have that as a mental
curtsy
note.
To you,
I'm
Mom.
Always first. Oh, God. You go to anchor.fm /KendraKen/support and it'll show you how to do it. By the way, last time I said it was... $3 was an option? Not an option. There's a $1 option, a $5 option, and a $10 option.
Actually, the $1 and $5 options aren't options, if you ask me. 10 or nothing, folks. No, I'm kidding. $1 is great.
One is great.
One's great.
Thank you all for listening. Follow us on Instagram or Twitter. And do we have another announcement?
Well, no, I was just going to say one. And I was like, speaking of one, my number one John Carpenter
movie.
Oh,
my God.
Is The Thing. Watch it for Halloween. It's great. It's a classic. Anyway, I just wanted to say that.
Okay, well, now that we're done with all of our terrible announcements that have now been sullied by that awful final thing, have a great day.
Oh, have a great Halloween.
Spooky. Woo!